So, a very famous story, which I think has a lot of very intriguing relevancies for today. It's the story of Yochanan ben Zakkai during the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. And essentially, the city was being laid siege by a Roman general, wasn't yet the emperor, called Aspasianus. And he was urging the people of Yerushalayim just to concede, just to surrender. And he would have established terms that were, in some ways, tolerable, sustainable. They would probably have to pay him some tributes and certain levels of subjugation, but he certainly wouldn't have destroyed Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash to the same severity that, you know, there was destroyed. And there was, and this is all documented, not just in Avos Ritnasan, but there were in many other texts, there was a young generation of people who refused to cave and refused to accept the terms of Aspasianus' deal. And in fact, according to some opinions, they were so hostile and so fanatical that they actually sabotaged themselves and burned down storehouses of wheat. There was a man named Talba Sabur who was very wealthy, and he had enough wheat that could have sustained the population for many more years and perhaps allowed the terms of a negotiation to be a little more favorable, even possibly a victory. But they actually burned down, they torched the storehouses of food because they were confident that the Jewish people, though they were small and probably inferior to the Russian, to the Roman army, Jewish people could overcome and could defeat the Roman army. And they said, well, we've done it before and we'll do it again. And Yochanan wasn't so confident. He was campaigning extensively to try to create some conciliatory negotiation. And as you know, when he wasn't even allowed out of the city, because these fanatics were so intent and so adamant that there should be no negotiated settlement, that they refused to allow Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who at that point was seen as someone that would negotiate a settlement, they refused to allow him exit from the city until he asked his two talmidim, Elazar and Yehoshua, to fake his death. And they brought him out in a coffin. And these Jewish sentries that were guarding people exiting the city thought that they had to allow Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's body to leave for burial. Very appropriate for Parshas Vayechi, where you think about Yaakov's burial in Eretz Yisrael. And then when Rabbi Yochanan finally meets Aspasianus, he effectively barters Yerushalayim, which is clearly about to collapse, for the Torah Academy of Yavne. Very famous name, Eten Li Yavne V'Chachomeha. Doesn't appear in Avos Ritnasan, but appears in other Midrashim that Rabbi Yochanan says, at this point we realize we will no longer have the Beis HaMikdash, we'll no longer have Jewish sovereignty, and this is a very important shift in Jewish history, where effectively Galus is yet to begin. They're about to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, appropriate for Sefer Teves, but this is the shift. We're not going to have a Beis HaMikdash, we're not going to have Korbanos, we're not going to have sovereignty, but for 2,000 years we will have Torah, and we will have Rabbanim, and we'll have Tefillah, and that will keep Jewish identity not just alive, but will keep Jewish identity thriving, and then one day we'll return to the Beis HaMikdash, we'll return to Eretz Yisrael, and Yerushalayim, and then if, of course, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai successfully negotiates that deal, at which point Aspasianus becomes the actual Caesar, based on Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's prophecy, and then he's the one who destroys the Beis HaMikdash, and it's one of the people, one of the generals that destroys the Beis HaMikdash. And that's a short summary of a very long piece in Avos Ritnasan. There really are two takeaways from this piece. Number one is that sometimes in history, Jews get this unfortunate cockiness and confidence because we're privileged to supernatural interventions, and because we have the Beis HaMikdash, and because we have Eretz Yisrael, and because we have such past glories, that our success is assured in any battle, in any conflict. We don't have to factor things practically. We don't have to negotiate. We don't have to. We're assured that we could be successful because we're living in a redemptive experience. And it's just not true. And obviously the final arc of history is clearly predetermined. And we know that in the end everyone will come to the Beis HaMikdash and Am Yisrael will be in this land. But the stages and the manner in which we get there isn't always secure. And you don't have the right at any point in history to guarantee, oh, at this point we know we're going to emerge victorious. I think we had a little bit of that 10 years ago when people felt that the withdrawal from Asa can't happen. A lot of Rabbanim announced, I can guarantee that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't let it happen that Jews will retreat from their land. And certainly, and certainly 10 years, 70 years after the Holocaust, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can let Holocaust happen, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu can allow, for whatever reason, Jews to be uprooted from their land and resettled in the Jewish state. So will we one day come back to Gaza? Of course we will. Is this our land? Of course it is. But at that point in history, we can't be certain, we can't be confident. And you have to take matters diplomatically and rationally and pragmatically. And really, of course, this begins with Yaakov in Parshas Vayishlach. You would have imagined Yaakov comes back to Parshas Vayishlach with a stream of confidence. He's coming back to Eretz Yisrael. He has the brachos. He's followed Hakadosh Baruch Hu's command. And Yaakov really sets the template that you never know. And Shema Yigla Machay. And of course, Yaakov will Yarsh in Eretz Yisrael, and the Jews will love Eretz Yisrael. But at this point, Esav may really defeat him. It's not a given. It's not an assumed. So, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai shares a lot with Yaakov. Two people are two very delicate points in history. And you could have thought, oh, we're guaranteed success and triumph because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine promises. And they're both very pragmatic, knowing that at any certain point, you have to be very, very careful. Rav Amital was very much like that. Rav Amital's, having lived through the Holocaust, his whole political view of Israel was very much conservative. Like, we have to protect what we can, and we're not as strong as we think, and we just went through terrible horrors. And I think that's probably one of the primary differences between Rav Amital's redemptive view and, let's say, Tamina Rav Kook. Got the sense that we're back in Eretz Yisrael, we can do no wrong, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's at our side, Oda Vinu Chai, we're going to receive one triumph after another, and that can set our political agenda. Rav Amital was much more cautious, much more conservative. We're survivors of the Holocaust. We have to protect what we escaped with. We can't let that fall apart, and whatever we gain in Eretz Yisrael, we have to, let's say, gain in inches incrementally, and not necessarily be so triumphant. It's a very, very important difference, and you see that coming across in the Yochanan ben Zakkai's treatment as well. Second thing, obviously, is also the dynamic between an older generation and a younger generation. In general, younger generations tend to be very confident, very, very excitable, very one-sided, and they don't always have a sense of history and the challenges and the complexities of history. So if the younger generation of fanatics were very intent on conquering the Roman army and defending Yerushalayim to the teeth and to the last inch and not ceding any territory, and it's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's wisdom that really is able to transition Am Yisrael to the next stage and retain great Talmidei Chachamim, because had he not bartered for Yavne, all those Talmidei Chachamim would have been incinerated in Yerushalayim, and who knows what would have happened to Torah. So it's not always true. Obviously, we look back at the Holocaust, and we certainly see a lot of people who made incorrect calls and didn't get out in time and didn't get a lot of people together in time. So not always to listen to what people say about events that aren't halachic, but about historical events. But sometimes, and I think even in today's state in Eretz Yisrael, we have a lot of youth in our community who don't understand the larger complexities of geopolitical issues. That obviously, is Eretz Yisrael geopolitical? Of course it isn't. Eretz Yisrael is supernatural. Eretz Yisrael is prophetic. Eretz Yisrael is historical. But right now, we're in a stage of history where, obviously, our process is very influenced by the geopolitical system. So 20 years ago, this debate probably surrounded the question of peace for land and should we negotiate settlements with the Palestinians. In our day, unfortunately, and certainly given the tragedy of yesterday, unfortunately, that hit home in a very close way because one of the boys who was killed was Marlon Schwartz. So it's pretty clear that we don't really have a partner for peace. It's only very, very, one would say, hyper-fanatical left-wingers that can still even imagine someone who wants to make peace for us at this stage. We're still very far from peace. Hopefully we'll get to a stage where people, where there may be enough. You know, we want peace. We're striving for peace. But it seems suicidal to form peace with people that are attacking us as well as on our boundaries. We're so vulnerable to some of the fundamentalist Islamic movements that have been consuming in the Middle East. But you know, I think in our day, the question wouldn't be land for peace. The question would just be more, do we defy America and ignore European pressure and ignore any geopolitical influence? And we just say, we're in Eretz Yisrael, let's build as many settlements as we can and stick it to every other nation because the Baruch Hu is on our side and we're part of Gula. Or do we say that? Unfortunately, we haven't yet been zocha to that revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, and therefore we have to inch our way forward and participate in a larger political. And I think I find myself very much driven to that whole view of Rav Amital that Eretz Yisrael is ours, every centimeter is ours, it will be ours. There's no one to make peace with at this point, but we should be at least somehow sensitive to the overall political context. Okay? This is a very important story of Yochanan ben Zakkai. It's a long piece. I just wanted to summarize it. For sure, I will get back more to it. So, it's in Perek Ravi. Perek Ravi, Mishnah. Where is it? It's nice and hard to find. Mishnah Hay. Perek Ravi, Mishnah. Okay? Have a good day, everyone.